Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, and welcome everybody to the Remnant Call. I am Brother Frank with you here tonight, and a special guest that I'm going to have on the program. Rabbi Brother Zev Perot is going to be with us tonight. Unfortunately, my co-host won't be here this evening, but he will be here in spirit. So, Brother Todd, wherever you're at, we miss you and look forward to seeing you back soon. But let's get into the program, because tonight's guest is going to be exciting, all the way from Israel. And if you haven't noticed in the world right now, things are going kind of crazy, and it's going to be exciting to get an inside perspective for somebody who actually lives over in Israel tonight. And so with that, I just wanted to say a few words about our guest this night. Brother Zev Perot, he runs the Messiah of Israel Ministries, and it was founded by Brother Zev, who was actually born into the Sanhedrin's family in one of the most Orthodox cities in Israel. B'nai Barak, his grandfather, Rabbi Pinchas Perot, was a Holocaust survivor and later became one of the head of the Sanhedrin in Israel. Certified as a Jewish rabbi, Zev never truly felt the presence of God and had drifted away from Judaism. Miraculously, he even married Lynn when none of them were actually believers in Yeshua Jesus at the time. In 2001, they were both saved by the Lord and became living testimonies of the one new man in Yeshua Jesus from Ephesians 2:15. Rabbi Zev's fervent faith has brought to him and Lynn persecutions from family members, friends, and company. Praise the Lord, though. By his grace, they've stood strong in the faith throughout the period, paying a big price for believing in Yeshua. 11 years ago, Zev was called by the Lord to give up his lucrative job and start full-time ministry, preaching the gospel to the Jews, Arabs, and Holocaust survivors, and the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, and to the nations. Messiah of Israel Ministries is one of the very few messianic congregations in Israel actively preaching the gospel publicly in Israel. Once again, they have been heavily persecuted, but God's hand has always been upon them. The Lord has also used Zev to reconcile with the Germans, to convince Western churches on replacement theology, and to teach believers on Hebraic roots of our faith. And with that introduction, I would like to bring on Brother Zev to the program. Are you there with us, Brother Zev?
Shalom, Brother Frank. It's a blessing to be here.
Amen. And I just realized, Brother Zev, I actually have a closer relationship with you than I first realized. As I was doing the introduction, something hit me. You were talking here about the Holocaust survivors. And my grandfather, actually in World War II, had to go in and clean out the ovens during the Holocaust, and it shook him to the very core. And every time the war would come up, my grandfather would talk about it, but as soon as the Holocaust would come up, he would have to leave the room because it affected him so deeply. And I know I hear some people say that even crazy people say that the Holocaust never happened. Well, we know different. And I just realized that and want to say thank you for reaching out to those people that are still alive and have been survivors to this day.
Well, that's what we're called to do, Brother Frank. And hearing about your family, it reminds me of my grandfather, too. Growing up as an Orthodox Jew, I always remember my grandfather used to hide loaves of bread all over the house. And I always ask him, why are you doing that? And he was so he had these nightmares of growing up without bread and without food. So until the day he died, and he was one of the head rabbis in Israel, he always used to hide those loaves of bread. So it kind of reminds me of what you were speaking about.
It affects you. Something like that never leaves you. And so anyways, we just want to welcome you to the Remnant Call, Brother Zev. We're excited. And the reason we're so excited is because not only are you a believer in Yeshua Jesus, but you are actually a blood-born Jew. And I know that for some people that's kind of confusing. They see kind of Israel and Jews are as different people than Christians and believers in the church. And I think from talking to you, Brother Zev, that you don't see things quite the same way as maybe the modern day Christian church does.
Well, I see the Word of God as the Word of God, and there's no difference between the nations and the Jews. The difference is through Yeshua the Messiah. Once you and I believe in Yeshua the Messiah, we become the one new man. The Bible records this in Ephesians 2:15, and there's no difference. There's a lot of misunderstandings, yes, but we're all one in Jesus, one in Yeshua the Messiah. It's the same Bible, it's the same God, and it's the same Jesus that rose from the dead.
That I happen to believe that wholeheartedly, but I realize that there's many people out there today because of teachings from their churches that I believe have been very misleading, that somehow the church and Jews, they're different, and that God has two separate plans in the last days. One group will be secretly raptured out, and then the time of tribulation will be for the Jews only. I believe this has become a confusion, and it's troubling because it skews the way that we understand the word, and it leads to this whole belief in the replacement theology that's being taught by modern day Christians out there and teachers, so-called biblical scholars. And if you walk into any Christian bookstore in the United States, you can just find the shelves filled with that. Why is that not what the word says? Why is that in contrary to what God actually says?
Well, first of all, we need to understand that over the years, over the history, a lot of the translations, a lot of the theology was changed, some deliberately and some just out of lack of knowledge. A lot of the changes had to do with Emperor Constantine of the Roman Empire, who changed a lot of the meanings of the Bible. And until this day, many people are following those teachings of Constantine without even knowing it.
I think the problem is I don't actually believe some Christians actually even know that they believe in replacement theology. They don't. They think they have a belief, but what is replacement theology?
Replacement theology is replacing the Word of God. It's replacing Yeshua, Jesus. It's replacing everything that has to do with the written Word of God. You see, the Bible was given to the Israelites, yes, to the Hebrews. Okay, Moses was a Hebrew. The prophets were Hebrews. The Ten Commandments were given to the Hebrews. Yeshua, Jesus, was a Jew. The disciples were Israelites. But something happened. God created a way for us to become the one new man. He died on the cross for our sins on a tree. He rose after 3 days and three nights. And by his blood, if we repent and believe and turn from our ways, we have full redemption of sins. That message is to the Jews and to the nations and to the Gentiles as one. If a Jew is born in Israel and he rejects Jesus as the Messiah, as Lord, he will not be in the presence of the Lord. Being Jewish is not a ticket to heaven. The ticket is only through Yeshua the Messiah. And Jesus, Yeshua, said it with his own mouth. No one makes it to the Father, but only through me. So we need to understand that replacement theology is not biblical. Replacement theology is direct from the pit of hell, actually.
I agree with that. I feel that replacement theology, because it's always tied in with this belief called the pre-tribulation or the secret rapture, that everybody's just going to disappear, and then when the really hard times come, then that's only for the Jews. Somehow that it seems like with that kind of theology that you would actually say God is a more of a respecter of persons, and I don't buy that when I look in the Word. I feel that that God, Jesus didn't pray for us to be taken out of the world, but to keep us from the evil. And I feel that this is a great misconception that so many people have in the church today. And my concern, Brother Zev, is that when times really do go bad, how will they react?
Well, first of all, let's first of all turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. We can have a look at the Bible there. And in the Bible, in the written word of God, it says that Yeshua, Jesus, he says, don't miss, I'm quoting, by the way, from the Hebrew text. So I'm reading it in English, but I'm quoting it direct from the original Hebrew text. So don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. But first of all, we need to acknowledge who is speaking here in Matthew 5, verse 17 and verse 18. Yeshua the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was speaking during his 3.5 year ministry. And he says, I don't want you to misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish. The word abolish in Hebrew means to cancel. I came to accomplish their purpose. So we need to first of all see that this is written in the New Testament way after Yeshua HaMashiach was already on the cross. Okay, these writings. And we need to acknowledge that when Yeshua was quoting this, he was quoting from the Old Testament. He was quoting way after the time where all the prophets were already dead, where King David was not alive anymore. So if he says that everything in the Old Testament stands, then everything stands because he says so and he's God. And it really doesn't matter what anybody says. It only matters what the Word of God says. Now, the reason I'm beginning and speaking for Matthew 5:17 is Matthew 5:17 pretty much sums up the fact that we're done away with anything in the Old Testament and that replacement theology that the church has replaced Israel. We need to understand that according to Yeshua the Messiah, according to the written word of God, the church, or the actual translation, the congregation, is Israel, is spiritually Israel. So nothing can replace Israel. You can only be grafted into Israel. And that's what Romans 11:15 and Romans 11:17 speaks about. It speaks about the nations grafted into the olive tree, being partakers of the blessing of Israel, the inheritance of the blessing of Israel, paid for in full by Yeshua the Messiah, who died on the cross for our sins, who said in Matthew 5:17 that nothing is done away with, but everything is fulfilled through him. And the whole Bible was written from Genesis all the way through the Old Testament, was written to the Israelites, yes. But God created a way for the nations to be grafted in and to be partakers of that blessing. So replacement theology, according to the Word of God, doesn't exist. If anybody's teaching this or believing this, then he's out of the will of God, and he's even, I would even question their salvation.
Wow. Back like we used to say, when you hear a powerful sermon, brother, that'll preach. And I believe and hear what you're saying. And when you mentioned grafted in, it's something I'd like you to touch a little bit more, because there seems like there is a mystery in Romans 11 that it's like we read through the Bible and we read through and we see all these wonderful things. And then we get to Romans 11. It's like all of a sudden our eyes go crossed, and then we pick back up in Romans 12 again. And I was wondering, could you explain to that, what did God do with Israel? What is their role, and how do the Gentiles play into that, in that mystery in Romans 11 and being grafted in? Because to me, grafted in is something that's exciting. There's a part I get to be a part of, and I just wondered if you could explain some of that from Romans.
Well, if you read Romans 11:15-17, it speaks about the grafted into the olive tree. First of all, we need to understand, what is the olive tree? The olive tree is Israel. The olive tree is Yeshua the Messiah. If we go back to the Garden of Eden, we have the tree of life. What's the tree of life? The tree of life is Jesus. It's Yeshua. The tree of life is spiritual. Yes? The tree of life is spiritual.
Yes.
The olive tree is also spiritual. So when we get grafted into the olive tree, we're getting grafted into spiritual, into Israel, spiritually Israel, and we're getting grafted into Jesus, Yeshua, because Yeshua is the Word, John 1:1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Actual translation, he tabernacled among us. So we know that we're grafted into the olive tree, we're grafted into Yeshua. And what did Jesus say? He said, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. Look at the olive tree. If you get grafted into the olive tree, you're in Yeshua, and Yeshua is inside of you. This is not, and I want to make something clear, I'm not speaking here about salvation. I am speaking about sanctification. I am speaking about preparation for the end times, preparation to be the bride of Yeshua the Messiah, to have that relationship with him, to get to know him, because we're married to Yeshua the Messiah. Right now we're engaged to him. And during the engagement time, we need to get to know our groom. The bride gets to know the groom, and that's called the relationship, the sanctification process. And if someone doesn't want to get grafted into the olive tree, or he thinks that he doesn't need to get grafted into the olive tree, then what he's saying is, I don't want a relationship with the Lord and Savior. And how can you be part of the bride if you don't want a relationship? When a man marries a woman, during the engagement process, they get to know each other. This is the importance where God wants to get to know his bride. Part of that is being grafted into the olive tree. And we read that the olive tree, again, is Israel and it's Yeshua the Messiah. So the nations get grafted into the olive tree. And then Romans 11:23 says that the Israelites are grafted back into the olive tree. So we have the nations that are grafted into the olive tree. And then we have the Jews that are grafted back into the olive tree. Now, that's very important, very significant, because when a Jew, an Orthodox Jew, a secular Jew, it doesn't matter what kind of Jew, rejects Jesus, Yeshua, as the Messiah, he is out of the olive tree. He is out of the blessing of Israel. He misses the opportunity to be saved. But when he has that Damascus Road experience that Paul had, then the Holy Spirit falls upon him, and he gets grafted back into the olive tree. That's Romans 11:23, and then we become the one new man, Ephesians 2:15. That is the biblical concept of the Bible. Anything else is not biblical. It's man-centered.
Well, is that what Paul meant when he said all Israel shall be saved? Does that mean everyone that's grafted in, whether it's the nations or natural-born Israel?
Absolutely, but you have to be grafted in, and the only way to be grafted in is God's way. And that's having a relationship with Yeshua the Messiah. We're not speaking salvation here. Look, if a criminal gets shot in the middle of the street, and with his last breath he repents right there, and he accepts Jesus, Yeshua, as the Messiah, he's saved. But we're not speaking here salvation. We're speaking here the bride of Yeshua the Messiah, the ones who get to know Yeshua the Messiah.
Wow, that's exciting to me, because that means that even though I may be a part of the nations, and I mean we know some of my family heritage, but I don't know if I have any of literal Israelite blood. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. But when I see this, I think to myself, it doesn't matter, because if I know Yeshua and I have a relationship with him, I get to be just as much a part of the inheritance as anyone else. Am I right on that?
If you are a believer in Yeshua the Messiah, according to the way God has intended it to be, according to the written word of God, not according to man doctrine, not according to replacement theology, not according to what I say, but according to what God says, according to his word, then you inherit the blessing of Israel. Salvation came to you and I as a free gift by grace, but the blood of Yeshua the Messiah came at a heavy, heavy price. And his blood cannot be taken for granted. And in that, there's an inheritance. And I would submit to you that Satan has been robbing the church. He's been robbing the assembly. He's been robbing the congregation from that inheritance. When you refuse to accept what the Bible says, when you refuse to accept that you're grafted into the olive tree, you refuse to accept that you are an Israelite, spiritually Israel, in the new Jerusalem, the new heavens, new earth, forever and evermore, what you are doing is you are not accepting your inheritance. You are taking the blood that Yeshua shed for you in Jerusalem for granted. That's what you're doing, and that's exactly what the enemy wants. The enemy doesn't want you to be blessed. The enemy wants you to go to church or to go to your congregation for 45 minutes a week, then an hour a week, and he wants you to leave over there with your head down and say, Satan, attack me, Satan, attack me. He doesn't want people to be blessed, to be happy, to walk in the provision that God has for them. He's robbed the believers from their inheritance. It's time for us to bring that inheritance back through the written word of God, through the truth.
Wow, hallelujah. That's exciting because for me personally, Brother Zev, knowing that I'm not only does Yeshua desire me to be a part of this great plan of salvation, but he actually considers me also when I accept this, when I have been accept this wonderful gift of salvation through repentance, that he actually thinks of me as one of his own. And so when I see everything going on around the world and even of Israel and in the land over there, I think to myself, hey, that's a part of me too, because I'm actually a part of Yeshua now. And if I'm a part of Yeshua, I've been grafted in, and those things that he even promised to Abraham, I'm now a part of too.
Absolutely. That's why it's so important that the believers understand the importance of Israel, the significance of Israel. Look, you see what's going on in the world. When Jerusalem's at peace, there's peace in the world. If Jerusalem's not at peace, there's no peace all over the world, because that is the center where everything has happened and where everything is going to happen. That is where our Lord and Savior is going to return. The Bible says his feet are going to land on the Mount of Olives. The new Jerusalem, the new heavens, the new earth is going to come down. How could you take Israel out of the Bible? That's like taking Jesus out of the Bible.
Wow. Yeah, I agree. And the problem we have here in the United States, Brother Zev, is that the churches kind of have one of two views for the most part. We either have the Israel is completely separate and that they're going to be raptured out and everything else happens to Israel, or we have the other view that says Israel is really no more, everything's just spiritual Israel, which I believe you're saying in a way it is some spiritual when we are connected with the Spirit, but there's more of that Israel's of no value anymore over there. That's really that doesn't pertain to end time prophecy. Yet I see when I read the book of Zechariah and Zephaniah and stuff, I see that God still has a plan in the end times for the land of Israel. Does Israel play a part in the last days, or am I just wrong on this?
Israel is, the whole Bible is Israel. Israel is God's chosen people, that the believers get grafted into Israel. Now, Yeshua said, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. You and I, right now, live in temporary dwelling places. Our bodies are temporary. We are going to tabernacle with the Lord forever. Revelation 21:3 says that we will tabernacle with God forever. At that time, that's going to be in the new Jerusalem. That's going to be in the new heavens and the new earth. That is going to be the one new man, Ephesians 2:15. You cannot separate Israel from the Bible. That's like separating God from the Bible. Okay, Yeshua was a Jew. The disciples were Jewish. Abraham was a Jew. Isaac was a Jew. Everything has to do with Israel. You cannot separate Israel. The end time plan is Israel. The beginning plan is Israel. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9 says that everything that was will happen again. Nothing's changed. God created the heavens and the earth. God is going to create the new heavens and new earth. The Bible says, by one man we fell, by one man we're redeemed. You see it in Genesis, you see it in the new heavens and new earth. Everything that was will happen again. Israel was, Israel will happen again for eternity. Now we see in Jeremiah 31, speaks about the new covenant. The new covenant was made with the house of Judah and the house of Israel. There's no new covenant with the house of New York. The nations have to be grafted into the olive tree, and any other explanation is an explanation that is not biblical and it's not from God. I know these are very harsh and difficult words that I'm saying here, but I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And the Bible also says in Genesis 12:3 that I will bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. Anybody that's going against Israel, or anybody that's teaching against Israel, or anybody that teaches that Israel has been changed, is going against Genesis 12:3, and he'll ultimately have to deal with the Savior of the world.
Well, that's a very good point, and that kind of leads me to this question, and I think the problem we run into here in the United States is that you have pastors and preachers and whatever their church may call them, that they've been trained in seminaries that have a certain school of thought, and it's just continued on, and a lot of people have failed to actually investigate these things on their own, and so they simply have taken someone else's word for what they should believe in, and once they've got that, then they frame all the rest of their opinions around that initial teaching that they have, and that seems to be a problem. On the flip side, being that you are a blood-born Jew, a rabbi, a messianic rabbi in Israel, isn't the same kind of problems that don't the Jews have the same issues when it comes to how the rabbis teach versus what the Word of God says, and now that ends up framing their point of view?
Absolutely. It's funny that you asked that because I was just thinking about speaking about that. When you look at Romans 11:15 to Romans 11:17, there are so many believers in the world, and I've been to many places in the world, and that either don't want to deal with Romans 11:15 to 17 or Romans 11:15 to 8 to 22. They just either choose to say that it's not Israel anymore, or they just don't read it. And the same thing with the Orthodox rabbis in Israel that are not believers. They deal with Isaiah 53 the same way that believers deal with Romans 11. The believers don't want to deal with Romans 11, or they don't want to read it. And the rabbis don't want to deal with Isaiah 53. Either they want to change it, or they don't want to read it. So it's the same spirit, the same anti-Yeshua, anti-Christ spirit that's trying to blind the both sides. Even the ones with the Holy Spirit, the enemy is still trying to blind them as well. So for me, Romans 11:15 and Isaiah 53 for the Jews are kind of like the same thing. They're both stumbling blocks.
Well, and I appreciate you bringing that up because the whole point of this program, The Remnant Call, Brother Zev, is for me personally, it was a desire to reach out to believers from all churches around that want to walk deeper with the Messiah, to know the Father in a deeper way so that we could prepare and be ready for the second coming. And not only for the second coming, because I know the second coming is going to happen, but when I read the Word, I see all the things that are going to happen before that. And I realize that if my faith is not grounded fully in the one who laid it all down on, 2,000 years ago, that I myself will be deceived and carried off by some either wind of doctrine or a compromise in order to save my family through tough times because I'm not grounded in the faith. And why, I guess this comes back down around, is that why is it so important right now to understand the Word? Are we in different times than we were 10 years ago? Are we really at these last days that we need to know the truth of what the Word? Because it seems like it actually seems like when I was younger, Brother Zev, that my family, that people in churches were more looking forward to, were more preparing for the return of the Lord than right now. It's people, somehow it's like they know the Lord's coming, but they've kind of got sidetracked.
Well, I can tell you that, I'm not a date setter and I'm not a prophet, but I can tell you that there's never been a generation closer to the coming of Jesus, Yeshua, than this generation. We're seeing end-time events all over the world like never before. We're seeing disasters all over the world. We're getting close to that time, and you're speaking about time all the time. And I have to tell you that January, February, March, they're not in the Bible. These are worldly timings. Now, you and I, we live in the world. Jesus, Yeshua said, we're in the world. We're not of the world. I spoke about this before. What does that mean? It means that when you send your children to school, you send them on a worldly calendar. You and I, we schedule to speak today here on radio. We schedule the worldly calendar. But if we study the written Word of God on a worldly calendar, we're in big trouble. We can't understand. Why is there so much difficulty to understand the book of Revelation? Because if you don't understand the Old Testament and you don't understand the biblical calendar, you can't understand the book of Revelation, not to the fullest extent. So if you're on a worldly calendar, on a worldly time, you are not able to understand the Bible to the full extent, and there's a lot of gaps, and this is why a lot of people are following other teachers and other pastors without checking on their own and seeking the Holy Spirit for truth, because they can't understand it because they're on a worldly calendar. Look, Daniel chapter 7, verse 25 speaks about this. He shall speak great words against the Most High and the saints. Who is the saints? He's speaking about the believers of the Most High. And he will think to change times and laws. Now, the word in Hebrew for times is the word mo'adim. Mo'adim means God's fixed appointed time. The word laws in Hebrew, that's a wrong translation. In Hebrew it says it's a Torah. Torah is God's Torah, which is God's instructions. Okay? So it says that Satan wants to change God's time, which is God's mo'ed, which is God's fixed appointed times. And because he wants the church, he wants the congregation, he wants the Messianic Jews to be off God's calendar, off God's timing, so we can't be prepared for his second coming. And this is what we're talking about right here.
I take it the feasts, the things that God had put into place in his word, you're saying that those are important, that we need to understand right now, but those are not things that are taught very much in the modern, at least in the United States, in the Christian churches. Why are his times so important? Do they point to something deeper that we need to understand, or will they help us to understand?
Well, first of all, I'm not the one that says that they're important. God says they're important. And this is huge, because a lot of people tend to think that if we celebrate the feasts of the Lord, we're actually following the rabbis, we're following the Jews, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the feasts belong to the Lord. The Bible says that it's the biblical calendar. Now, in the feast of the Lord are multiple fulfillments, all pointing to the book of Revelation, the book of Zechariah, the book of Daniel. You can't understand and be prepared to be the bride of Yeshua the Messiah if you refuse or you don't want to be on the biblical calendar.
We have a solar calendar we live by here in the most of the known world. 365 days a year. We have 7 days a week, which I think is standard even in any calendar. But is our calendar that much different than the one in the Bible?
The one in the Bible is God's calendar. There's a lot of translations that say they're the Jewish feast or the Jewish calendar. No, they're God's calendar. If we turn our Bible to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 2, it says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord." So we see right there that they're the feast of the Lord. They're not the feast of Israel. And we see that the word feast in Hebrew is the same word we just read, mo'ed. Mo'ed means God's fixed appointed time. So God is saying, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them concerning my fixed appointed time, okay, which you shall proclaim. The word proclaim means to call out, to market, to make recognizable. In Christian language, preach the gospel. To be holy convocations. Holy convocations in Hebrew is the word mikra'e kodesh, and it means a dress rehearsal. Now, a dress rehearsal to what? Well, as I said, the feasts of the Lord, they come once a year. But the dress rehearsal is all year long, what we call the sanctification process. Because in every feast of the Lord, there's idioms, different names, and each idiom is a big, big preparation for Yeshua's second coming, even the ones that Yeshua fulfilled like Passover. And then in Hebrew, God even says, and even these are my feasts. So two times the Lord says in Leviticus 23:2 in the Hebrew text that they're his feasts. He wants to emphasize that they're the feasts of the Lord, that there won't be any misunderstanding. He says, speak unto the children of speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord. And then in the end of the chapter, the end of the sentence, he says, even these are my feasts. So he's emphasizing that they're the feasts of the Lord. Constantine took the feast of the Lord, took God's calendar, messed it all up, twisted it all around, and said they belong to the Jews, said that's what happened, okay? If we look at, for example, you mentioned the calendar. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. I'll just read that for a moment. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. The word over there, seasons, is the same word we read in the book of Leviticus, Moed. So God says in Genesis 1:14 that he made the sun and the moon first for his fixed appointed times, and only then for days and for years.
Amen. And I believe, Brother Zev, that the feasts are a key to unlocking and understanding what's going on, because we know for a fact that all the feasts have not been fulfilled. Even a basic believer can look in Revelation and know that it says right there in the Revelation that the Feast of Tabernacles will not be fulfilled until the Bible says that God himself will tabernacle with man. We know that the final fulfillment. And so I do see where it's so important for us to understand the feasts, to know that the times we're in and how they help apply to what's going on in the world right now. And to bring us to continue this going back on, because Brother Zev, what I'd like to say is that there's so much information, and folks, you are listening, there's so much information that Brother Zev has to share with us that we almost can't hit it all. And I just kind of wanted to get an overview so that in the future we can dig deeper into some of these topics, because there's so much going on right now, and so much to know and understand that I don't think we could even fit it in a month of 24-hour programs. I mean, it just is too much information. But Brother Zev, I'd like to back to Romans 11, 13 through 15, when it says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" And the reason I want to bring this up a little bit more, Brother Zev, is because I myself, I have a heart for the natural born Jew to know who Yeshua is. Because when I look at the word, I think to myself, thank you, Almighty God, for be willing to graft me in. And when I read Romans 11, it would be like having a child, and this child wandered away from home, and I got another, an adopted child that came in, and I loved him, of course, just as much as my natural, and they became a part of the family and they loved us. But there would always be a burning in my heart for the one that came from me. It's not that I don't love the other one just as much, but it would always be a burning in my heart that child would come back home. And Brother Zev, I know that you have been playing a large part in trying to reach Jews for Yeshua right now, and I want to kind of touch on that, because before we know it, we're going to be out of time on this segment. What is God doing right now in Israel, and how is he using your ministry, the Messiah of Israel ministry, right now to reach Orthodox Jews for Yeshua?
Well, Brother Frank, first of all, I want to, our ministry is messiahofisraelministries.org, and with God's ministry, and we're an evangelistic ministry. We preach the gospel in the streets, in the houses, in the synagogues, in the mosques, wherever God opens the door. We also have discipleship programs. We've got all through Israel, from north to south, many discipleship programs, home groups of various kinds, also to the Arabs, to Muslims. And we are reaching not just the Orthodox Jews, but all sectors of the Jews in Israel, which is the traditional Jews, the secular Jews, the atheist Jews. But the importance of reaching the Orthodox Jews is very important, because the Jewish people, even the ones who are not religious, they tend to go to the rabbis when they have a problem. When somebody gets married in Israel, he goes to the rabbis. When somebody has a bar mitzvah, he goes to the rabbis. When somebody has a health problem, he goes to the rabbi. So if the rabbis can come to faith in Yeshua HaMashiach, then the others will follow them. That's the importance. It's so important for us to reach them. We're seeing salvation after salvation after salvation. Praise the Lord. And we're in the end times right now. We're speaking today on the radio about Romans 11, and about Romans 11:25 talks about the fullness of the nations, the fullness of the Gentiles. We're speaking about the confusion in the church about the God's calendar. And I'm here to say we need to unite together. We need not let Satan divide between us. We need to unite together as the one new man, bring the gospel back to Jerusalem and go home. We need the prayers, the support of the believers around the world to join in the family of Israel. Pray with us, because there's a lot of persecution in Israel. It's not easy to preach the gospel in Israel, because these Jews are coming to faith. But when they see division between the believers around the world, that is not helping us. Look, Joseph knew his brothers, but his brothers did not know him, because Joseph was dressed like an Egyptian. In the same way, how are our Jewish brothers in Israel, the non-believers, how are they going to accept Yeshua, Jesus, as the Messiah, if we've dressed Yeshua like a Catholic pope? It's time to bring back the Hebraic roots. It's time for the church to understand the Hebraic roots, to get into the blessing of Yeshua the Messiah, to get grafted into the olive tree, to get sanctified through Yeshua the Messiah, and then those Jews will be provoked to jealousy. Romans 11:11, the gospel will go back to Jerusalem and will go home. But when they see that the believers are trying to take away Israel, trying to convert them to something that they're not, this is not helping. So, yes, we're having salvations in Israel, but it's very, very important to understand who is Israel. Who is going to be in the eternal Israel? Who's going to be in the new Jerusalem? It's you and I. It's the bride of Yeshua the Messiah. Those Orthodox Jews in Israel that are being saved, praise God, but the ones who are not going to be saved are not going to be together in the new Jerusalem.
Well, many say that there's right now, and I thank you for that word, and many say right now that there is revival, and I've heard going on right now, and that there seems to be a changing of the tide over in Israel, where once there was very, very, very slow movement forward in spreading the word, because I do understand there's a, I've never lived there, but I've watched the videos and I see the persecution that happens for believers from the Orthodox Jews over there, that their persecution that happens. But is there revival going on right now? Is there a new door that's been opened? Is God reaching like he's never reached before over there in the land?
There is a revival in Israel. The veil is being lifted. Jews are being saved like never before. But one thing I want to bring out is, for the listeners who maybe have never heard this or don't know about this, you think about the Jewish people, the chosen people, you think that they read the Torah, they understand the Old Testament, the Bible, but the truth is, all Jews who are not saved, who are not believers in Jesus, in Yeshua, they read the Tanakh, the Old Testament, the Bible, through rabbinic interpretations, which means they take only what the rabbis teach or interpret at face value. This is one of the enemy's biggest tools to keep the Jewish people from revelation to see that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah. Jesus is God, deity. Because the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17, says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But they need to read the Word of God or hear the Word of God in order for the Holy Spirit to work on them. And when they read these rabbinic interpretations, they're blocked from the Holy Spirit. But God's master plan was to have the most venerated rabbi in the past 250 years, Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri, have a revelation that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah. This is not just some rabbi tucked away in the bowels of Jerusalem and the bowels of Israel. This is a rabbi that political leaders looked up to him. This is a rabbi that other rabbis came to him for counsel. So God's master end time plan is to reveal to this rabbi, Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri, that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah. The Jewish people want to know what the rabbi says? We'll let them know what the rabbi says. And the biggest rabbi that lived in the past 250 years, Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri, received the revelation that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah. And that's why it's so important, so huge to mention this, because my dear friend, Pastor Carl Gallups, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote the book, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Story of Yitzchak Kaduri. And we have been using the book here in Israel as an evangelistic tool. There is no revival without the Word of God, but we need to bring the people to the Word of God. And the book, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, with the revelation that Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri had, that Yeshua is the Messiah, is leading Jews to the written Word of God, and as a result, we're having salvation after salvation after salvation. Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri passed away in 2006. He left a note to be opened 1 year after his burial revealing the name of the Messiah in a cryptic coded way. The note was put on his website. It was on the website for a few months, and then they decoded the note when they found out that the note said that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah. It shocked the Orthodox movement in Israel and the world. They immediately took the note off his website, but it was too late. People already took screenshots. It was all over the news. Israel Today did a news broadcast about it. The Israeli news reported about it. The media and the rabbis have done everything they can to shut this story down, to suppress the story down, to hide it from the Jewish people, so they won't see that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God is for us, who could be against us? God's end-time master plan is to use the book, the revelation of Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri, to lead the Jews to the written word of God and to salvation. It's out of the control of the anti-missionary organization in Israel, Yad Lachim. It's now in the heavenly realm. So to answer your question, Jews are being saved like never before. And for this, we give glory to the King of Kings, Yeshua the Messiah. I'm also very humbled to be in the book, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, as far as my ministry being having Rabbi Kaduri's students saved and the ministry that book has, God has been using us to win Jews to Yeshua the Messiah through that book, through the written word of God. And I'm also on the DVD made about the book, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah. So I'm very humbled that God would choose me for this end time ministry. And that's why it's so important for the believers around the world to understand the importance of Israel, to understand their role as being the one new man in fulfillment of Romans 11:25, the fullness of the Gentiles, and finally Romans 11:26, and all Israel shall be saved.
I spoke to a friend of mine in Israel that has a messianic story, and he says, Zev, you're not going to believe it. They come in the back door and they ask for a movie about Yeshua, about Jesus. They ask for a New Testament. These people are hungry for the truth. Just today we had two salvations, praise God, one in Haifa, another one in Tiberias, and this is happening almost every week, almost every day, contact information. We're reaching Holocaust survivors. We have Holocaust survivors that are being saved. Can you just imagine that? Holocaust survivors being saved. This is end-time stuff.
Wow, that is so exciting. And let me ask you, as before we continue on, is there a way that believers here in the United States could be a part of that? I mean, I know you have a ministry. Is there anything that your ministry has been in need of? Is there any way that they can find out exactly what's going on? I mean, is it all on Messiah of Israel Ministries? How can people be a part of reaching the Orthodox Jews? Now, we know that we need to reach everybody, and there's missions going all over, but there seems to be not as much work inside of Israel, and here you are. You're in the middle of it. Can people become a part of that?
Absolutely. As I said, our website is messiahofisraelministries.org. You can go to our Facebook page or YouTube channel over there. I encourage you to sign up to get our newsletters because we have updates from Israel all the time, evangelistic updates, news updates, video updates, teachings, and you can really get involved. Pray for us, and if the Holy Spirit moves you to partner with us financially, then please do. We have always trusted the Lord to provide for the ministry because it's His ministry. But if you want to be partakers of it and enter into the blessing of Israel, then please do. We would love to hear from you.
Oh, that's wonderful and exciting. And so back just for a moment here, because Brother Zev, as a believer, my main goal is to lead someone to Yeshua, to see them repent of their sins, to cry out and to go into those waters of baptism and surrender their lives to Him. Because I see, to me, there's nothing sweeter than seeing another soul join the kingdom. And what your experience of, what is it like seeing some of these natural and Orthodox Jews, what is it like seeing them come to this new knowledge in Yeshua?
Well, it reminds me when I was saved and I had that, I didn't have a Damascus Road experience, but I had a experience at night, 3 o'clock in the morning, God spoke to me through a cloud. And I remember when I was saved again, it changed my whole life. Yeshua just lives inside of me, and praise God. And when you see these Orthodox Jews, the Holy Spirit just comes over them. They're like, it's amazing because their whole life has changed. And they begin to look at the Bible and they say, wait a minute, this is what the rabbis used to teach us, but now we're seeing something else. When you allow the Holy Spirit to open your eyes, to teach you the truth, this is where the fire of the Holy Spirit comes in. And that's why it's so important for believers also to understand, not to listen to what I say, not to listen to what you say, listen to people and check what they're saying, if it's in line with the Word of God. Otherwise, you are blocking the Holy Spirit from blessing you and from giving you revelation. That's what the Jews do when they allow the rabbis to block their blessing. If we allow a man to block our blessing and not the Holy Spirit to work in us, how are we going to know, how are we going to be prepared for the end times? So I'm not saying, you know, don't listen to your pastor, don't listen to your teacher. I'm saying listen to them, but make sure that what they're saying is in line with the Word of God. Seek the Holy Spirit, seek the truth, and then the truth will set you free.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm so thankful for that. Because, folks, if you're listening right now, everything that Brother Zev's saying is wonderful. But at the end of the day, we need to remember something. We as believers have a mission, and that mission is to win as many souls as we can. Time is short. We're coming to this point that your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, they knew was coming one day, and we're here now at this time in Earth's history when God needs an army on this earth of believers to share this good news of Yeshua to a dying world. And we've got to be out and sharing this, because if you share, then God will continue to pour in. But it's like the woman who went in with the pots of oil when she went to Elisha, and she went into her closet, and the Bible said that when she shut the door, they began to pour out into the empty pots. And as long as they continued to pour out, the oil continued to flow. But when they brought the last empty vessel there, and they were done, and the mom, she said, where are the rest of the vessels? He said, there is no more. The Bible says that the oil stayed. There was no more. And when we stop reaching out, when we stop pouring into others, when we stop sharing this good news, folks, your life will dry up. You will dry up. And so spreading this good news, it's, Brother Zev, it's what you live for. There's nothing exciting, I'm sure, every day when you've got to go and witness to people that don't have your best interests always at hand. There's not the freedoms over there that we have here in the United States. And I want to just say thank you, brother, for what you're doing. And please keep doing it, because I don't have the way to reach the people over there like you do. And I'm just saying, folks, if you're listening to this program, put Brother Zev in your prayers, on your prayer list. Put him up there at the top. Put the Messiah of Israel Ministries there, because time is short, and we've got to reach people for the gospel of Yeshua while we have time.
Amen. Amen. And I want to thank you for praying for Israel and standing with us. And well, all the believers around the world, the listeners, for those of you who are standing with Israel, I really want to thank you, because your prayers are working. The gospel is going back to Jerusalem. And we will not stop preaching the good news of Yeshua the Messiah until all Israel shall be saved, Romans 11:26.
Oh, hallelujah. That is just, that's a wonderful thing. And folks, I just want to, you know, the whole point of every program we do here is that you will grow closer to the Messiah. I want you to know Jesus Yeshua better than you've ever known him before. When the Bible says to find your first love, that's what I desire, that each person that listens to this program would find their first love. And there's no quicker way to truly find your first love as a believer than to get out into the work and to get involved in saving souls for the kingdom. Being a soul winner is a high calling, but it's a calling that all of us have. And God is asking for people that will join into the fight, you know, so that we can be a part of this, just like Brother Zev is doing right now in Israel. And Brother Zev, let me ask you a question. You know, knowing that what you're doing right now, is Israel the only place where you've really worked, or have you gone out into other places?
Well, the Bible says that the gospel will go from Israel to the nations, and Yeshua said, go and make disciples of all nations to the ends of the world, right? So that's
yes.
What we're called. We're called first to the Jew and then to the Greek, Romans 1:16. But I want to really emphasize that Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But it never says to the Jew better. And that's something that I want to bring out here. When we say to the Jew first, we preach the gospel to the Jew first, but the Jews are the ones who receive the commandments. They receive the Leviticus Torah, the Leviticus laws, and therefore God says they'll be judged first because of that. So being to the Jew first also means that they'll be judged for their rejection first. So very important to bring out. A lot of people say, you know, what are you saying? The Jews are better? Absolutely not. It says to the Jew first. It never says to the Jew better. And it's very, very important to bring out. I just want to back up a little bit, Brother Frank. I know we're short on time. There's a passage that is used all over the world. And, yes, I've been all over the world. God has sent me to Germany. God has sent me to Finland, to the underground churches in China, to the United States, to many places in Europe as well, to share the message of Yeshua, of Jesus. And we'll continue to preach all over the world, wherever God opens the door. But there's a famous Bible passage, and we're talking about end times right now, that is quoted, and I'm sure all the listeners have heard this Bible verse, "He comes as a thief in the night." But we're speaking about God's calendar. If we back up a little bit, and once again, I don't know what translations, you may be looking at a different translation or a different language. Please understand that what I'm telling you or what I'm quoting from the original Hebrew text, which is Aramaic Biblical Hebrew. So it may not be exactly what you're seeing in your Bible, but please understand that I'm reading from that text. And we back up a little bit from "He comes as a thief in the night." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, it starts off verse 1, "But of the times and season, brethren, I don't need to write to you." Now, the word "time and seasons" there, you know what that is? It's the same word we spoke about before. It's moed. It's God's fixed appointed time. And he's telling them, I don't need to tell you about God's fixed appointed times. You know about God's fixed appointed times. So how can someone say that the fixed appointed times are not important, where this Bible verse right here in 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, I don't need to write to you because you know about them." That's what it says in Hebrew, the word moedim right there. So we know that the fixed appointed times of God are not only eternal, but they're very, very important. In verse 2 it says, For yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord. How do you know the day of the Lord? Because you're on God's calendar. Look at verse 1. The times and the season, the moedim, I don't need to tell you. You know who they are because you perfectly know the day of the Lord. Now, Jesus says no one knows when he's coming back, but we know the season. And this is what he's speaking about over here. And he says, "For the day of the Lord come as a thief in the night." Verse 3, it says, "For when they shall say peace and safety and sudden destruction come upon you, and as a travel upon a woman and child, and they shall not escape." Verse 4, "But you, brethren, you are not in darkness, that day will overtake you as a thief." And verse 5, "You are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor the darkness." Therefore, verse 6, "Therefore, let us not sleep," and this is speaking about spiritual sleep, yes, "as others do." Who are the ones that are sleeping? The ones who reject Israel, the ones who don't want to be grafted in, the ones who teach replacement theology, the ones who are not of the biblical calendars. Those are the ones that he's speaking about that are sleeping, as do others. "But let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep in the night are like the drunken," it says, "in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate." What is the breastplate of faith? That's the high priest. Who is the high priest? Yeshua the Messiah. He's speaking about the breastplate of the high priest over here. He's speaking, everything here is 100% Israelite. But you can't understand this Bible verse if you're against Israel or if you're not on the biblical calendar. You have no idea what it's speaking about over here. The helmet of salvation. The word for salvation here is the helmet of Yeshua. That's what it says in the Hebrew text. You're putting on Yeshua the Messiah. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And if we keep on reading, and it says he comes as a thief in the night, but for you, brethren, for you who are children of the light, to you he will not come as a thief in the night. So many times people quote the Bible verse that says he's coming as a thief in the night. He is, but not to the ones who are on God's calendar, not the ones who are ready, not the ones who are the bride. Look at Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. We spoke about you can't understand the book of Revelation if you're not on God's calendar. "I come as a thief," he says, or he He's quoting right here from the book of Thessalonians, direct to the he's talking to the Laodicea congregation, yes? So we see all, and I can go on and on and on, this concept of God's calendar, of God's biblical time, of God's feast is all over the Bible. And if you read the New Testament, the Old Testament, and the book of Revelation, and you reject Israel, or you don't want to, you can't understand these Bible verses. You have no idea what he's speaking about. And then you go around teaching everybody he comes as a thief in the night.
Wow. Brother Zev, we're about the end of this program. I've got so many things running in my mind I want to talk about. And folks, we decided today, we just wanted Brother Zev to kind of give a 10,000-foot overview of just kind of what's going on right now, because we want to dig more in future programs into several things. Brother Zev, you mentioned understanding the Hebrew roots, and I'd love to have you talk a little bit more about that, because there's a lot of deception in the United States about what the Hebrew roots really are. And so we're just thankful and want to have you back. And Brother Zev, I'm going to ask something here that you're not ready for, but I'm just going to ask if you could do for us. Brother Zev, could you bless this audience out of Numbers 6, 24, and 26? Would you bless us in Hebrew as we close this program down this evening?
Absolutely. Numbers 6, verses 24 to 26, it speaks about the priestly blessing. And the Bible says that we all are high priests through Jesus, through Yeshua the Messiah. He is our high priest, and therefore we inherit the blessing. We're speaking about this whole program about the inheritance. Well, brothers and sisters, Numbers 6, verses 24 to 26, that's your inheritance. That's your blessing. And the one that's praying it, the blessing is not for me. The blessing has come from the heavenlies. In fact, in Hebrew, this blessing of the high priest is not a corporal blessing. It is a individual blessing. It means that God is coming to each one of you and blessing you one by one with this enormous blessing. But again, this blessing only applies to those who are grafted into spiritually Israel. If a person rejects Israel, he can't inherit this blessing because he's rejected Israel. He's not part of the high priest. I mean, these are very, very difficult words, but I pray right now today in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, that each one of the people here that are listening, it may be new to them, that they are going to be grafted into the olive tree. They're going to be part of Israel, part of the ministry here, and part of the eternal Jerusalem. So I'm going to pray this blessing over you right now. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Isa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the mighty name of Yeshua the Messiah, amen.
Oh, hallelujah. I just thank you, Brother Zev, for playing that in Hebrew. Folks, I just want to just say a special thanks to the Messiah of Israel Ministries and Brother Zev for being on here. And Brother Zev, God just keep you in the war, keep you strong, keep you through any weapon formed against you. We pray in the name of Yeshua that it will not prosper, as the Word of God says. And we look forward to having you back again. And with that, I would like to say to everybody, this is Brother Frank from the Remnant Call saying goodbye and shalom. Thank you.